Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Paper Tray Radio. Today is April 8th, 2011, and as usual, my name is Erin Lincoln, and I'm your podcast host. Let me tell you about our lineup today. We've got some listener answers to our usual discussion question, which was concerning magazine inspiration. I've got an interview with Cheryl Canuti, mom of six and avid stamper. She's going to tell us how she manages to squeeze in some stamping time with and without the kids. I just re-listened to the interview, and she's really a delight. I decided not to edit much down because she's just really enjoyable to talk to and has a lot of insight, so you'll want to listen to that. And, you know, if you have a longer commute or a little bit of a longer workout, this will push you through to the end because I did include almost all of it. We've got our Q&A where you call in with your questions and the folks at PTI answer. So we've got Jen Ellison, Michelle Wooderson, and Nicole Hetty on the line. And last but not least, I'll be picking a winner from this week's participants on the podcast. One lucky lady is going to be receiving a stamp set of her choice. So stay tuned to the end of the program to find out who she's going to be. First up, a little refresher from last week. I asked a long, rambling question about how you use magazines for inspiration. Do you feel that the cards featured within their pages are realistic and doable for the everyday stamper or paper crafter, or do you feel inspiration needs to be taken a little bit more piecemeal from the whole thing? Here's what three of our listeners had to say.
Hi, Erin. It's Joyce Casaldi calling from Boonesburg, Pennsylvania. Ash Joy on the forums. I apologize. My voice is a little off today. But the reason I'm calling is I wanted to share my opinion on your question for this week, but also to let you know I totally agree with you when it comes to sympathy cards. I so cannot make them. I even take it a step further. I don't even own a stamp set that is a sympathy stamp set, although I'm trying to get over that, and hopefully I'll be able to start making some sympathy cards, but we'll see how that goes. The answer to this week's question for me is twofold. First, I love inspiration magazines and such, and I get several magazines, and I love just throwing them in my bag and having an actual paper magazine with me when I'm going somewhere so I can look through my own magazine and not just those that would be laying in a waiting room, because typically you don't find craft or card magazines in waiting rooms. But as far as the inspiration in those magazines, I typically just look through them and don't really go back and have the magazine open when I'm creating something. That's not saying I don't take inspiration from the magazines, because I definitely do. I may see something and say, ooh, I love that idea for a card. But it's typically just the idea that sticks in my brain and not necessarily the actual entire makeup of the card. Now, if there's a technique in a magazine or on a blog or on the web that I find myself more of a hands-on learning type person. So if I want to try a technique, I have more of a likelihood that I'm going to take that technique and do it step by step how it's shown until I learn the technique. And then I kind of apply it as I see fit. Thanks again for another great week of Paper Tray Radio, and I'm loving this so much to the point where I'm downloading them to my iPod and re-listening to them again at the gym because there's so many great tips on there. I want to make sure I don't miss anything. So hopefully we'll talk to you again very soon. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Terry from Cold City calling about inspiration and how I use that inspiration when I start my own cards. I notice when I first get a brand new paper tray ink stamp set, sometimes I get them, and although I love them and can't wait to purchase them, when I actually get them home, I don't know what to do with them. So those are the stamps that I start, and I'll probably copy a few of the ideas that one of the design team members or the stamp set designer does until I kind of get a feel for the stamp set and kind of see how it works and if I can make, I change colors or change a layout, but if I can make some cute things based on one of theirs fairly closely, I feel a sense of accomplishment, and then it seems like the creative juices flow, and then I can make my own cards with my own ideas. But I would say not every stamp set, but quite a few. That's how I have to start. Then when I'm flipping through the magazines, if I see something that catches my eye, typically it's not that I want to do the whole card, but it's the way that they incorporated a certain element of their card. Like, I like the way they placed those buttons where they did, or I like how that ribbon is looped to the side of that one main element piece, or something of that nature. Have a fabulous day.
Hi, this is Katie in Malta, Montana, and I'm known as Scrapper79 on most of the forums around the stamping community. And I'm calling in regards to whether or not you copy a card exactly, or whether you tone it down a little bit. And I totally got what you meant by that question, and it never really occurred to me before. But whenever I get a new magazine, I'm always inspired, and it makes me want to run out and make something in my craft room. And usually before, I probably would say I was just inspired by something and would take a little bit of each card and make something my own. But lately I have been finding that so many of the cards in the magazine are just wow. And so I would usually take them into my room, and I'd had the little pages earmarked or ripped out or whatever, and I would copy them. And I've done some posts on my blog about that. So I think maybe it's because my style has evolved into something different, where I would have before just taken a little piece of the card and made it my own. Now I feel like I enjoy copying them more, and maybe because I have more of the supplies too, I don't know. But anyway, that's my answer, and I appreciate it, and I love Paper Tray Radio. I enjoy listening to that each week that it's on. Thanks, ladies. Bye.
Thank you, ladies, for your insights, my thoughts. You know, whatever it takes to make you happy when you create is what you need to be doing. If you feel like you like getting inspiration from the magazines and that makes the whole process for you enjoyable, then by all means do it. If you feel a little bit of pressure, or you feel you compare yourself too much to what you see in the magazines or what you see online, then maybe, you know, it might be time to refocus and do what it takes to make the hobby enjoyable for you again. Because, you know, as busy working women, you know, some of us have kids, some of us don't, our hobby time is so very limited. And, you know, why mess around with anything that causes you stress or pressure on those, you know, few hours a week that you get to enjoy yourself? So whatever it takes, that's the bottom line for me, for to enjoy your hobby is the most important. And just the fact that you have a hobby, I think is a step in the right direction for just being a happy person. So, you know, cultivate that, enjoy it, whatever it takes, and, you know, no pressure, just enjoy it. And, you know, it's something that I have to remind myself of quite frequently, so I'm in no, you know, not throwing stones at glass houses over here by any stretch, because I have huge problems with that too. But it's just every now and then I step back and just think, you know, this is fun for me, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it fun. So there you go. All right, this week's question has to do with how often you get the urge to stamp. I know for myself I get a little itchy and twitchy if I go more than a few days without creating something. And by creating, I mean more than just stamping, really. I mean, it could be a new recipe or blogging. I just put my thoughts down on, you know, the computer. Or, you know, gardening. There was a whole article in January in O Magazine, at least I think it was January, about how Americans on a whole are not being as creative anymore, we're really suffering as a result. You know, we're not, that part of our brain isn't working. Creating makes us happier people, and by not doing it, you know, there's a little bit more depression, blah, blah, blah. So my question to you is, how often do you create? And if you are a creative person, and I'm assuming you are because you're listening to a stamping podcast, what other outlets do you have in your life to unleash the need to create? Because for me, it's like a pressure. A couple of days and I got to do something, because otherwise I'm really grouchy. So, and lastly, my last bit of that question is, do you get a bit grumpy if you don't have some creative time? Because I do, and I don't know any other way to get myself out of the funk sometimes other than just to come and stamp. So let me know what your thoughts are on that topic. Call our Google Voice line at 301-799-8338 and tell me all about it. Next up, we got Cheryl Canuti on the phone today. She's C. Canuti on the forums, very easy to spot with her cheerful avatar. She organized our first Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia Paper Tray Inc. get-together back in December, which I was delighted to attend. It's really enjoyable to go to things like that because although you don't know anybody, you all have this common bond, which is, you know, the love of stamping and paper crafting, basically Adwater and instant girlfriends. It's a lot of fun. What I didn't know before I met her is that she is the mother of 6 kids. She told us that stamping kept her sane in the middle of that family whirlwind. So we're going to ask her today about some of her time management techniques and how she keeps calm in the middle of it all and gets some stamping done. So welcome, Cheryl.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. It's nice and calm in my house, which is unique. Everybody's asleep.
Everyone's asleep. So I got to ask you, what did you mean by stamping keeps you sane?
I like to do paper crafting and stamping because it gives me something that's uniquely mine so that regardless of what happens during the day with kids and schedules and everything else, it's something that I can go to that doesn't have any deadlines, doesn't have any timelines. It's just fun. It is all mine. And I think sometimes when we're moms, it's difficult to find something that is just ours. And so This is something that has really given me an opportunity to express myself in a completely different way than I do the rest of the day.
So did you start stamping before you had kids, or was this something that you kind of stumbled upon in the last, I think your oldest is 16, right?
Yes, she's almost 16. I've actually only been stamping for about 6 years. I did scrapbooking before that, but I started that when my oldest was a baby. And so really This hobby has been since I've had kids, and most recently just in the last 6 years with card making, because it's so much more of an instant gratification thing than scrapbooking. And
I totally agree with you on that one. It's so much easier.
It takes me far too long to make a scrapbook page, but a card I can get done and look at it and feel a huge sense of accomplishment with just a little teeny canvas. So I do like doing that. So, yeah, I just started doing that when I had just had my 5th little baby, and a friend of mine held a stamping class, and I went to it and thought, oh, wait a minute, I can do this, and fell in love with it and have spent many thousands of dollars, I'm quite sure, since then, and had a great time.
That's the thing. It's so much fun. So do you stamp every night, or how often do you get some time to yourself to do this?
I think it depends on the time of year and kind of what's going on, and it has kind of ebbed and flowed. Is that the past tense of that word? It has kind of come in different forms, but I try to do it at least 3 times a week, if not more than that. I have a desk in my basement that's just set up for all of that, and I am not a neat stamper at all. And I think what has helped me be able to find time to do it is that I can leave my project out. And if I have to run upstairs to put a fire out or to wipe somebody's nose or to stop a fight or to do any of those things, I can do that and leave my project, and then I can come back to it any time. I'm currently in the process of making a set of cards for my mom that she had asked me to do far longer ago than I care to admit, and I have just been sort of going down there piecemeal and trying to finish that project, but at least I can kind of leave it there and then come back when I have a spare 5 or 10 minutes, and I really like that. And then I'll go in and clean everything up in one fell swoop, and then I'll start again and make it a big mess again.
Now, are you like me? Like, I think with creating and doing artsy crafty stuff, there's a lot of like thought process involved, and where you can actually physically work for like 5 minutes. But when I'm busy doing something else, in my head I'm like, okay, how can I make this card better, or how can I make this work? Do you do the same thing? Is it a lot of thinking time when you're busy doing other things?
You know, I wish I could say that it was, but I actually don't. I kind of compartmentalize it a little bit. And so if I'm doing home stuff or whatever I've got going on during the day, I usually will not think about how to compose a card or anything like that unless I've just gotten a brand new stamp set and I can't wait to play with it. but usually I kind of just keep that part kind of on a low hum, and then then I'll go downstairs when I've got some time and then really focus on that. So I try to just compartmentalize it a little bit more. And then when I sit down there, sometimes I can just get right to work, and other times I have to sit and look at everything for an hour before I can do anything, and it's really unproductive, but at least I can just go sit and calm down for a little while. So either way, sometimes it works out.
Sometimes just looking at things calms me down.
Yes.
All the stamps, all the ink.
Yes. It's pretty. It's so pretty.
It's my own little, I made this little world down here.
That's right.
So do you do paper crafting for any kids' projects, or do you, like, draw the line? Like, it's just for you, and there's no crossover when the kids need, you know, a school project? Do you bust anything out, or?
No, they use a lot of my stuff. I have kind of tried to protect my paper tray stamps. I have some wood mount stamps and some and lots more paper tray stamps now, and I used to try to protect those from my kids, but my girls have gotten a little older. I have my almost 16-year-old daughter and then one who just turned 9, and they both are really good about cleaning them and taking care of them, and they're very careful with them, and so they use them a lot. And my boys have tried to get in there too, and they have tried to be very careful with them as well. But I usually reserve the wood mount stamps for my boys. They're a little harder on them. But they go through my paper like crazy, and so I finally got to the point where I just figured it's just paper, and they can use it. They use it all the time for school projects, and whatever they decide to do, they pick whatever pretty color they want to use, and they have a great time. My daughter, who's 9, has almost worn out my bookmark die because she makes bookmarks for her friends at school and has made at least one for every kid in her class and for her teacher and for every friend who has a birthday and everything. So I'm constantly churning out bookmarks, and I finally taught her how to use the Cuddlebug so she can cut out her own bookmarks. But that has been a very good purchase because she has just about worn it out.
Now, your 9-year-old's name is Alyssa.
Yes.
Do you and Alyssa stamp together? Is it a good mom bonding time? Because I'm really looking forward to some mom-daughter bonding time over stamping when Eliza gets a little bit older. I can't wait. I hope she's interested. Otherwise, I'm going to force her to do it.
I think that all of my kids have seen how much I've loved it, and so each of them has gotten curious about it, and then I make them make their own Valentine's, so they're forced to do it at least once a year. But
my
girls,
do they make their Valentine's for the whole classes?
They do, and so it's usually something very simple, something, you know, a 3x3 square with, for instance, this year I think it was the Tiny Treats Valentine's, or I have some other Valentine's stamps that they just go to it. But yeah, that's the forced stamping day at our house for all of the
forced stamping. Close it, a big family. I mean, I can imagine it being a nice family activity, sitting around the table and all doing it together.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. And some of the kids are more willing than others, and some have more tolerance for that kind of activity than others.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually goes down the gender lines. But as far as stamping together, yes, I do have, the way my desk is set up downstairs, I have an area just for my girls when they want to come down. And so often I'll be down there and somebody will wander down and they'll sit down and work next to me. They have their own drawers full of stuff. And actually, Alyssa came with me to Jennifer Ellison's house one day. She was having a sale for a bunch of, to raise money for her sons to buy a computer for a school in Thailand. And so we went to her house, and Alyssa was on cloud 9. She squealed and screamed and bought everything that she could think of for a dollar. And so she has quite her own little arsenal of stamps and ribbon and all kinds of stuff. So she has her things, and she will sit down there next to me, and I will do my work. And what I loved about it, when I first started stamping, my oldest daughter was about the same age. She was about 9, and it was right at the time where she and I butted heads at the time, and just everything was a little bit of an argument, and it just wasn't, we weren't getting along very well. And then I had started this stamping hobby, and she thought that it was very interesting, so she would come and sit by me, and it was great because we found something that we both liked to do together at the same time, and it really helped our relationship improve so that we could get along, we could talk about things that we both liked and suggest things to one another, and it really was a wonderful thing for our relationship. And so I recommend stamping with daughters anytime.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's like on the top of my list. If I don't want her to grow up, but I can't wait to do that, and I can see why. It just gives you something to do together, and I also feel it's very important for kids to see that their parents have outside interests other than just being mom.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I also think it's important for my kids to see that there is something that is mine.
Mm-hmm.
They have their things that they take care of, and I have my things that I take care of, and they're very respectful of my things. I really don't worry about them ruining my stuff. I've taught them how to use it, how to clean things, how to put things away, how to properly use the tools and things like that. And so I really don't worry about them hurting anything. And most of the time, it's just paper they're cutting anyway. And so they've been very respectful. But I think it's great for them to see that I have something that's special about me. And
that you're passionate about.
Yes, yes, and that it's a talent that I'm trying to develop and trying to get better with, and then they can see that either they can do the same thing or they can find something for themselves that they want to do. But I also have really tried to make this hobby be something for an outlet of service. So
mm-hmm.
most of the time I will give away my cards, and when I give birthday gifts, I often give sets of cards. And so most of the time, these cards are just given away. And so I've tried to show them that when you have something, you can make something for someone else. And it's just as gratifying as going to the store and buying it or
mm-hmm.
whatever. And so that has been a really good thing for us, too. And so that's part of the whole forced Valentine situation as well. But so that they can kind of see it when you give something that you create, it gives a little bit of a piece of yourself to somebody else. And so that has been a good thing too.
Absolutely. I think that's the appeal for most people in card making is, you know, you're not just giving something, you're giving something of yourself.
Yes.
And you put a lot of time and energy into thinking about the person when you make them something. And, you know, even if that doesn't necessarily come across to them, it's something you experienced, and that's just good enough sometimes.
I agree. And getting back to the stress relief, it is very soothing to me to be in the details of a project, to
mm-hmm.
color an image with Copics or to put pieces together and move them around until I get it just right on the page, or to heat emboss is just fantastic. For some reason, that's very...
You see, this is talking the same language. We're like,
yeah.
Embossing powder. It's awesome.
That's right. And watching the powder melt. It's just magical. And so those kinds of things are very much a stress relief for me to be in the details of something like that. And it allows my brain to think about other things. I can use my hands and keep my hands busy, and then my thoughts are a little bit freer. And that way I can settle down and think about something else that I need to work out. And it just makes sense for me. And it's funny because my husband is completely the opposite, and he can't stand anything like that. And he and I joke because he wants a paperless world, and my hobby is paper. And so
yeah.
We kind of have this little conflict, but he's all right with my hobby, and I'm okay with his hobbies. But it's kind of funny that way, but for me, it's just very, very calming to do something detail-oriented.
You know, it's funny because obviously I have deadlines with this, and for me, it's work, and lately I have been trying to remind myself when I'm like, I have to go upstairs and stamp, I'm like, wait a second, just slow down.
Yeah.
This is something you enjoy doing. This is
right.
This shouldn't be, even if you do have a deadline, this is enjoyable for you. So, you know, just take away that negativeness and just go upstairs and just enjoy yourself. And I'm really trying to focus on that, and you're reminding me of that too. It's almost meditative.
Yes. Yeah.
Because your hands are busy and your mind's doing something else, and just very calming. So you never get stressed out over it. I'm working on never getting stressed out when I create.
That's because I have no obligations. I haven't submitted to magazines for a while, and I'm not on any design teams, and I just haven't. I don't have those kinds of deadlines. But if I did, I would probably feel the same way. And so this way, maybe ignorance is bliss. I don't know.
Well, I have told myself I have a date in my head. Like at this point in time, I'm done with it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just going to do it for myself. So I'm looking forward to that day where it just goes back to just a hobby and just a stress relief. Like, I mean, it seems very refreshing to me, very calming.
Yeah.
So any advice for busy moms out there who don't think they have a lot of time to stamp?
I would say even if you only have 10 minutes and you have a corner that you can kind of keep to yourself and you don't feel obligated to clean it up every time, if you have 10 minutes where you know everybody's taken care of and you have an idea in your head and you just need a few minutes to crank it out, I would suggest just taking advantage as much as you can. In my house, it gets really stressful around dinner time. And so often after dinner, I will just sit down for a couple of minutes and then I'll come back up when it's time to, you know, have the kids get ready for bed. I used to do a lot of stamping when they went at nap time.
Mm-hmm.
Or after the kids went to bed. That's usually when I did it, but now my youngest is 4, so I have a little bit more leeway. I'm not, you know, I'm not chasing a baby. I'm not doing that kind of thing. So I have a little bit more freedom with the times that I can do it, but I usually would steal away when somebody was asleep, and
mm-hmm.
that was really helpful.
So there you have it. If you have one kid or 6 kids or 8, you can still get some time to stamp and enjoy yourself and find a nice relaxing hobby in the hurricane that is family life. So thank you, Cheryl, for all your tips.
You're
great
welcome.
Great to talk to you. And
thank
hopefully
you.
I'll see you at another get-together soon.
Yes, I hope so.
All right, I hope to see you soon. Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Moving on, we have some questions now for our PTI stamp designers, Nicole, and our design team members. So we're going to go to the phones. People have called in, left us messages. I've forwarded them via an email to the Far Reaches, and I've had people answer them. So it's always a fun segment, and I learn a lot, and it's very enjoyable. So let's just take it to the phones and see what questions are being asked today.
Hi, this is Connie Gregoire calling in from Scarborough, Maine, and I'm calling to ask a question of the design team for Paper Tray Radio. My question is for the design team, how do you organize your paper scraps, and what is the smallest paper scrap that you keep? I tend to get overwhelmed with keeping every small piece of paper, and I really could use some help in figuring how to organize my paper scraps so I can find them when I want them. Thank you very much. Bye.
Hey, everyone. This is Michelle Witterson with Paper Tray, and I'm calling in to Paper Tray Radio today to answer the question about how the design team stores their paper scraps from Paper Tray. And my system is I use just regular office file folders to keep a new pack of 8.5 by 11 solid cardstock with a label of the paper color name. And then all of my little scraps go right into that folder. And I keep lots of little sizes, about 3 by 3 is the smallest I keep. And I used to toss a lot of those, but now I keep that size because of all of the paper tray dies. It's really easy to just reach inside that folder and pick out those little pieces when you want to die cut an image. So that's my system, and I have to tell you, I used to have a big box just full of all of the different scraps that were mixed in there, and it was just a nightmare. So I tossed that idea and just go with the file folders, with the cardstock in there, and the little scraps. And then once the file folder starts to bulge, I just purge out some of those little scraps. So hope that helps, and have a great day, and thanks for calling in to Paper Tray Radio. Bye.
Hi, my name is Sue B., and I'm from Lincoln, Illinois, and I love Paper Tray, Inc. I was wondering, Nicole, if you're ever planning on retiring any of your stamp sets.
Hi, Sue. That's a great question. This is Jennifer Ellison, and we don't retire stamps at this point, and we currently have no plans to do so. The good news is that when an older set is out of stock, you can generally expect it back within about 2 weeks because we source all our stamps here in the U.S. We really strive to keep some of our older sets fresh. There's two ways that we do that. First way is that a lot of times we offer new sets that are additions to older sets. So you'll get to use that older set in conjunction with something newer, and it really keeps it fresh and right up front in your stamp collection. The second way that we strive to keep the older sets fresh is with our Senior Design Team Challenge. If you check on Nicole's blog on the first of every month, you'll see the Senior Design Team gals really present an older set in a fresh new way. It's really fun because even for me with some of the older sets, I get to go back and I'm like, wow, look at this. This is so cool. So it's really a fantastic program, and you should check it out if you haven't seen it. Also, by not retiring sets, it lets our new customers really catch up. Every month we're getting lots of new customers, and they're just discovering us for the first time. When they go back through our catalog, they can get whatever they need. One thing that we really should note is that we do occasionally offer limited edition stamps. And while those don't necessarily retire, because they are limited edition, you won't be able to purchase them later on. Examples of that are anniversary sets that are wildly popular, as well as the CHA sets. And if you want to learn more about that, call back into Paper Tray Radio with another question, and we'll be glad to elaborate on that. Thanks so much for your question, Sue. Have a great day.
Hi, my name is Katie. I'm Florida Mom of Two on the Paper Tray Inc. forum. And on the forum, whenever someone makes a suggestion, either Nicole or Jen will say that they will add your suggestion to their ongoing list of ideas. My question is, how long is that list, and is there a rhyme or reason to how they sort out which of those ideas will work for Paper Tray?
Hello, Katie. Nicole here. Thanks so much for calling in with your great question. I personally am the list keeper in regards to customer suggestions for new products to add to our lineup. Both Jen and Julie email me ideas that are sent via customer service, and I filter ideas on a weekly basis via the forum and add to the list from there. There are actually a few different lists that I have going on. One is a catch-all where I add everything we receive. It's a document that's now over 35 pages long, as it has been added to repeatedly over the last 4 years. A second list is stamp suggestions specifically, ones that I instantly feel would be a great direction for us to go in. This list is quite short, usually only a page or two, and this list is what I bring to our annual planning meeting each year to help us develop the content for the coming year. Sometimes if I have the space in an upcoming release, I try to work in some of these ideas as well. It is important to us to provide products to everyone that they want, so we try to work from this list as much as possible. Stamp suggestions that make it onto this list are usually ideas that either have a wide appeal or generate a lot of responses in the forum and customer service. The more buzz we see about a particular idea lets us know the interest level and if it is something that a broad range of people would be interested in. Another list I've established in the last year is a die suggestion list. This contains ideas passed on to us for new die concepts, as well as what previously released sets people are interested in seeing coordinating dies for. I work from this list while preparing for each release, trying to fit in as much as I can. Again, just like the stamps, the items that usually come to fruition are the ones with the most wide appeal, as well as being things that I myself would love to use in my paper crafting. The last list I have is for product development. This is for the ideas we receive that would require doing research and sourcing to make them happen. I bring this list with me to our annual planning meeting as well, and we try to pick at least one or two items from this list to work on each year. This type of development is the most time-consuming and expensive to get into, so we can't be as aggressive with this list of suggestions as we are with the others, but we try to do as much as we can to make customers' dream stamping products a reality. Thanks again for your great question, Katie, and everyone, please be sure to keep those suggestions coming.
Okay, there you have it. We're winding down our podcast. What I need to do next is pick a winner from our six participants today on our podcast. We have Joyce, Terry, Katie, Florida Mama 2, because we have two Katies, Connie, Sue, and Katie, who we just heard from. She was the last one in the question and answer. So what I do is I assign a number. I plug it into the random number generator online, and they spit one out. So our winner today is number 5, and that is Sue. So, Sue, please contact customer service with your stamp set of choice and mention to them that you won on podcast number 5. Okay, so I have a favor for all of you. I really, really, really need you guys to call in to our Google Voice account, 301-799-8338, with your questions for our design team members, stamping designers, and Nicole, and to answer our questions. Our discussion questions today was, how often do you create? Do you have this overwhelming need to create? And do you ever get a little grouchy when you don't get to create? Because without these answers, I have a hard time putting together a podcast. So I need great participation to keep these up and running. So I really would appreciate it if you guys could call in and help me out. That would be great. Okay, I'm going to be coming to you in 2 weeks. And actually, we're switching our podcast to Saturdays. So our next podcast will be on Saturday, April 23rd. You'll hear from me then, and hopefully we'll have some great discussions as well. All right, this is Erin Lincoln signing out, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.